Hello. Hey, Ben. So, we're doing a thing. There's a thing that's happening. It is called Can Paul Do Work Stuff? And by that, I mean a very simple thing. There is work stuff happening, right?
Right.
But it's not happening also. What do I mean by that? I will explain. There is an important thing that has to happen for my work.
Which you are not going to elaborate on because that's not your style.
Exactly. However, the issue that I'm dealing with is one that relies on other people doing things that I do not believe those other people are going to do.
Do you just not have faith in your coworkers?
It's not that. I have historical data that implies to me that it's not necessarily going to happen. But I am doing my best anyway to maintain, you know, some semblance of responsibility.
Right.
So what that means is this.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if that meant you were still kind of working while we were doing this.
Not really. It just means one specific thing, and that's that I have my email up, and I am checking it occasionally to see if someone is calling or writing.
Right.
Now, here's the interesting thing. You may hear that I sound distracted right now. That is not because I'm reading my emails. That is because the computer connection on my laptop keeps disconnecting. And so I was just trying to fix that, and I fixed it now.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
It's still warm here in Seattle. I'm kind of sweating right now because I don't want to open the window to my apartment because it's loud outside and people are jerks and honk all the time. However, I was going to be recording this at Annex, but since we're doing it later on in the day, I decided it would be best to just come home. So I basically raced home and rushed to set everything up. So my desk is a mess of wires and cables. I'm also stress testing the phone that I'm going to be using to record my version of the audio for the podcast while I'm on the road.
Because
the microphone that I have for it, it's a shotgun mic, and it goes through a box called an iRig Pro. It's basically an analog.
Oh, I know about the iRig.
Yeah, it's an analog to digital converter, and it plugs right into the Lightning port on this old iPhone 5 that I have. And I could probably buy an adapter to plug the iPhone 5 into a power port, and I may do that if the battery doesn't last for the entire hour.
Yes. I, of course, would have done it differently for me. And what I mean by that is, I would have just, well, we've talked about this. You just buy a little recorder and then you marry them up later.
Yeah, well, you know, if I had one of those, I would use it. But I don't have one of those. But I do have something that will work. So
yes.
I'm going to use what I have.
And that's, you know, that's rules for living, Ben. Yeah. Use what you have. Don't do what you ain't got.
It's the Goody Lawrence
don't
way.
Do.
Just adapt to whatever we adapt to whatever is in front of us.
Exactly. That's right. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You just have to.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Figure it out.
In all the confusion and all the craziness, we forgot battery check.
Oh yeah. Batteries are good. Batteries are good. I got them out of the machine.
Excellent.
To explain to the people, now that I'm here, like for real here, we're about an hour and a half later than we normally are.
For those who care, when we actually record the show.
Exactly. Well, you know, who knows? The dynamic may feel different because we're later than normal.
Well, I do use a different microphone at home than I do at Annex, and so maybe the sound of my voice is slightly different.
Well, that's something. So I personally, as we know, don't listen to the podcast that much. So I've never actually heard, I haven't recently. I won't say I haven't actually, but I haven't recently heard our voices married up. does it sound like we're in the same room?
If somebody had to just blind listen to it and didn't know, I'd say they would think it's in the same room.
Yeah.
They're not.
Because eventually, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we don't. I don't know. Because I'm too close to it, I know. Like, I know what you sound like. I know what I sound like.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we often talk over each other, just because we don't have that visual cue of like when someone else is about to speak or is continuing to speak.
True.
Yeah.
I do think I do think that I used to talk over you in person also. So that's something.
Just steamroll whatever I'm trying to say.
Exactly. Speaking of steamrolling. Well, we're not really speaking of steamrolling, but still, your visit coming up.
Yeah.
Like an inevitable tide.
Right.
That is
right. Blair
coming
and I,
towards us.
Blair and I were just talking about things that we want to do while we're away. And it's going to be a Friday night when we roll into St. Louis, so we may actually go see a show.
Oh.
And then we're going to go. You and Jennifer and Betty, of course, are welcome to join us. I don't know if what we haven't picked anything yet, but what we pick may not be appropriate for a 12-year-old, but I'll let you know.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, let me tell you. If you're picking a show to see, one thing I will tell you is... like if are you talking like a big show or like any sort
no,
of
no. What I was actually looking more towards like sketch or improv or something local. I'm not, you know, interested in seeing Hamilton while I'm in St. Louis.
Yeah. Improv Shop is like the big game in town for improv. Okay. I hear that they've moved venues. I used to go, if you remember correctly, and then I was like, oh, I can't do it anymore. Because I was spending, you know, a lot of our budget to take improv class. And I loved them. I liked doing it. Yeah. I liked the people. But I was just like, I can't justify this.
Right.
To get new hobbies.
How much did it cost to take classes there?
Now, here's the other thing. I have to tell you. I thought that it was completely reasonable for the classes that you're doing, right? It's like 8 classes for $200.
Okay.
I want to say 8 classes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, because 2 months of once a week classes for $200.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, it's not great if you're not used to taking theater classes.
And it's not nothing.
Yeah. And that was the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like I wasn't learning from the people or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, it's like if you're a bar band and you're taking classes from a flamenco guitarist or whatever. Like, you're learning stuff and all that, but really, if you're just doing it because you like playing guitar,
right?
You might as well play guitar at home. Because so
you just do improv at home then.
Well, yeah, exactly, and nobody likes it. Which is the same as when you do it in public. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Ripping on improv. Don't like doing it. But improv is fun to do, not as fun to watch most of the time.
unless the improvisers are really good. Like I saw
an, and if they're really good,
I saw an improvised Shakespeare show at Jet City, which was really excellent.
Was it the improvised Shakespeare company?
No, it was Jet City's own show with members of Jet City.
Hey, any friends that are from improvised Shakespeare company, don't worry about it. I have a friend who's in the improvised Shakespeare company, and I was going to say, was he in it? And then now that I know that he's not, I'm like, ooh, boy.
Well, also, I probably wouldn't. It's been years, so I probably would not have been able to tell you with any certainty anyway.
Okay. So the big thing is, that seems like a pretty good show. The other thing I was going to say is, if you're thinking of a bigger show, a bigger venue, the Fabulous Fox Theater is a wonderful venue.
Isn't that Chicago?
No. The Fox?
I thought you talked about going to some Chicago theater and it was called The Fox.
No. The Fox is here.
Okay.
I did go to a theater in Chicago where I saw Hamilton, but it wasn't The Fox. Unless it was, in which case, whoa, two places called The Fox close together.
So what's playing at the Fabulous Fox these days?
Well, that's where I went to see the two internet boys that Betty likes. Dan and Phil, I believe, are their names.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. Neither did I, but guess who has heard of them?
Your daughter, Betty.
My daughter, Betty, and a entire large venue full of screaming middle schoolers.
Was it all like 11 to 14-year-old girls in the auditorium?
Yeah, pretty much, it seemed like. And here's the big thing, right? It's very, like, I was like, okay, I wasn't around for Beatlemania, but now I get it.
For two dudes? Because
they're two dudes, they're British, and I'm serious, man. They get out there, and they're just like, how's everyone doing? And everyone screams like crazy.
What's their shtick? What do they do?
Here's the thing, Ben, and I'm not making this up. They're basically Goody Lawrence.
You mean we've been missing out on an entire demographic this entire time?
I think we're too old to hit that demographic, Ben. But they play like little videos. They do games. One of them had another one on a wheel and spun them and threw stuff at them. You know, it's just like I'm looking
Goody Lawrence
at this
with
and I'm
a
going.
Budget.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, of course, you know, Goody Lawrence is just, I don't know, name some people in the 70s who did stuff like we did. You know, so it's not like there's not a market. But really, two awkward guys doing comedy sort of for people.
Wow.
It totally, yeah. And they're millionaires, Ben.
Well, let's not dwell on that part. But let's think of Goody Lawrence, because I'm like, you know what? We can't get together for the first time in 4 years and not do something.
Oh yeah.
We gotta think of some sort of film project to do. Some sort of easy to do film project.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out.
Maybe it'll be. So here's my just straight out of the box thought. We do location. But for your hometown.
We do another location. I would love it. I would really like that. That would be fun. Ben, that is perfect. I think we should do it.
And
I really do.
We have both or maybe it's shot by Betty.
Oh,
she's a camera person.
Yeah, she wouldn't mind doing that, I don't think.
Or we'll give the camera to either or both Jennifer and Blair.
We're at about 15 minutes, Ben.
Yeah.
It's time for Paul's work email check.
Uh-oh.
Work email check sounds almost like a weird Russian name. Or Polish, I don't know which. Work email check. Work email check.
Work email check.
And So far, no one else wrote back. So I'm good for another 15 minutes. That's the big thing, is it?
Yeah.
I figured that I can, if it takes me 15 minutes to respond, that's not too bad.
No, that's reasonable for after hours. In fact, that's really good for after hours.
Exactly. I'm a good person, Ben. I like being me.
I received a work email last night at 10:30, and my initial response was to immediately do what was asked of me. And then I'm like, wait a minute, it's 10:30 at night.
Ben, you're doing the right thing. I don't know. I'm a big fan of...
Here's the thing. It was something that was going to take me 10 minutes, and it was not an important thing. And so it would obviously I'm a good judge of what's critical.
Yep.
This was not critical. This was changing the titles on some previously published podcasts. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. This is waiting until I wake up in the morning.
Obviously, I would still have done it. That's just too, because I wouldn't have been able to sleep. I would be trying to go to sleep.
You would have been able to sleep. Context is everything, sir. I don't know if I told you, maybe I told you, I have Obamacare, right? And I've had Obamacare ever since I have bought it, right? When the law went into effect and when it first available, I went into the marketplace and I've had, so I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years now where I've had health insurance for the first time since I left, Vulcan back in 2003. So about 10, I went 10, 11 years without having health insurance. And fortunately, I didn't have any health concerns, so it wasn't a big deal. But I finally did go to the doctor just for a checkup. Nothing's wrong. I just went just to get an exam, right? This ends well. Don't worry, Paul. I'm not about to drop any good news. I just want to say that I I received an explanation of benefits where the TLDR, this scary looking piece of paper with all these numbers on it, says total patient responsibility for this claim, $0.
Oh, nice.
The thing is, I don't know what it's for. It has a procedure number, but it doesn't tell me what it is.
Uh-oh.
And so
you have a tracker put in you, Ben. It's Obamacare, after all.
So here's
Jade Helm.
So I just assumed it was for my checkup. I assumed it was just to see the doctor because that's supposed to be free under the Affordable Care Act. Is regular preventative checkups are free. I get another
nice.
So I had a checkup. I had some blood work done. I had blood drawn and some tests. And actually, I have elevated cholesterol, which is like the only thing that came back. So I gotta like
Ben. Let me ask you a question. Are you still like a bird, basically, like rail thin and all that?
I do have white, skinny bird legs, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
But I don't. I don't do enough cardio. I walk about 2 miles a day, but I should probably get a gym membership and eat less hamburgers.
Well, the big thing that I would say to all that is, your friend of mine, Rick. Also has high cholesterol. Sorry, medical information in public.
Does HIPAA mean nothing to you?
But he's not that big of a fella.
No, and the thing is, it's not dangerously elevated. It's just the doctor, they weren't like, we got to give you medication. It was more like, we're going to send you to a nutritionist to learn how to adjust your behavior and your diet to bring this down by a few points.
So I've got two things that I want to talk about based off of that story.
All right, so hang on. Let me finish where I was going first, then you can say your two things. I received two letters in the mail today. One was my residual check for 10 Things I Hate About You.
Can we ask how much it was?
Yeah, it's it grossed $43.65, which is actually the largest it's been in a number of years. I don't really know why. A lot of basic cable residuals, but that means I net $30.71.
Hey, so, congratulations, Ben.
Yeah, so but then I get another letter in my mail from the clinic that I went to. And it is a bill. And I have to pay them, drum roll, for my visit, $10. I gotta pay $10 for my visit.
Nice.
Which is not free, but it's not a burden. And so I'm guessing
that's right.
I'm guessing that what I was charged for was either the blood work, so the lab work, or they gave me a couple of shots. They gave me a Tdap vaccine, which is tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, and hepatitis B. I got to get two more hepatitis B vaccine shots because it's a 3-shot series. But
wow,
yeah, and
I didn't even know that.
This is
people our age got vaccines.
I didn't either. But apparently you're supposed to get like a Hep A and Hep B and Tdap if you've never had it. And like I'm pretty sure that I got these shots when I was a kid, but they have a lifespan. So
yeah, interesting.
So anyway, I owe this clinic I went to $10.
That's not bad.
And there's no way to pay online. I have to either write a check or call them.
Oh. I'd call them. Personal touch, Ben. Personal touch, Ben.
Don't let him into the house.
So the two things.
Yeah.
Number one, you mentioned when you had health insurance at Vulcan.
Yeah.
Do you remember Shovel Fight?
Shovel Fight. Was that a bit that we were going to do?
Because Shovel Fight was a bit that we were going to do because both you and I had health insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
And and I had just recently gone to France, and there was a guy who was a bull rider, and he said that he had a really hard time explaining to the doctors how he had gotten injured because the concept of bull riding was just so alien to them.
Really?
That... Yeah. That them understanding what it was that he was doing was a little weird.
I do remember that when this was the era of Goody Lawrence, where a lot of our bits were sort of on the Jackass end of the spectrum.
Yes. Yeah.
I saw Jackass Part 2 recently. I visited some friends of mine, and they wanted to watch it, so I've seen that movie.
I think that's one of Jennifer's favorite Jackass properties, if not most favorite.
I gotta tell you, Jackass is one of those things where I don't think I could watch it by myself. You have to watch it with a group of people to share that experience. It's nothing that I would want to see on my own.
Yeah, it would be weird watching it on your own a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it. alone eating oatmeal.
Oh God!
Those guys are hurting each other.
Because when you're watching it with a bunch of other sensible, like-minded people, you can when say Steve-O sticks a fish hook through his cheek, you can just look to one another and go, "What the f?"
Yeah. So the basic idea was that you and I were going to try to create a medical problem that would be very difficult to explain to our health insurance. And so the idea is that we were going to fight with shovels and like full on fight with shovels on stage until one of us got injured.
Oh, Jesus.
And the idea for the bit was this. We were going to explain the premise for the bit, and then you and I were going to fight through our inability to actually hit each other with shovels to see if we would actually do... There was going to be a timer...
Yeah.
To see if we could actually bring ourselves to do it, or if it would be just,
right?
You know, like I'd be like, "You're ready, right?" And you're like, "Yeah, I'm ready." And then we were gonna see if we could do it. And I had predicted that we wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
That it would have just been us. And the idea was that would there have been any payoff? And we decided that there wouldn't be.
Yeah,
so we didn't do it.
Yeah, the payoff would have just been the lights went down on us and with both of us just standing there with shovels, not doing anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I still think is interesting and has a lot of tension. But if there could have been an end to it, that would be good. I've thought of one now that we could have done at the time, but I hadn't thought of it before, which is, of course, Richard Lefebvre runs on with the plastic baseball bat and hits us both in the head really hard while our backs are to the him
I think,
or whatever.
I think we, instead of doing Shovel Fight, we did do that piece with Richard where he was our Aikido instructor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I think that's what it turned
into. We hit each other
into.
With the plastic bats.
Yeah, I believe that we morphed it into that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, yet another Paul is changing his lifestyle thing.
Okay.
I almost reached 200 pounds.
Okay.
And I have switched back to my vegan eating because that's when I lost the most weight. In the healthiest way, I believe.
So
we'll see what happens.
So you're a vegan now again.
Well, I'm not, and I'm making this statement. I am what I'm calling a. Well, I don't have a name for it.
Well,
yet.
You're not a vegan, but you're eating a vegan diet.
I'm telling you about it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell most of anybody else. And then there's a hierarchy. So when I buy my own food and cook my own food, it's going to be vegan. If I am fed a meal by a friend or a relative,
right,
that isn't vegan, I'm going to eat it.
Well, that's just
if
polite.
Someone, what's that?
That's only polite.
Yeah. If I go to a restaurant and there is a vegan option, I will eat the vegan option. If there is no vegan option, I will eat the vegetarian option. If there's no vegetarian option, I will eat the...
I'll eat the cow they have roaming in the back.
What's that?
I'll eat the cow that they have roaming in the back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said, don't eat the cow, they have raw meat in the back. I thought you were making some sort of weird cow butt joke.
You know me, I make all those cowbutt jokes.
Ben Cowbutt Joke Lawrence, as you're
known.
Is that
what used to be called?
So yeah, that's kind of the hierarchy. Also, if somebody like wants to share a cookie or something with me, I'm not going to go, well, what is it?
Yeah.
And the idea I have is this, that the infrequent meals that I will eat that are served to me by other people or at restaurants or whatever will be treats where I'll be like, oh, this is cool and all that.
Yeah. That reminds me. I'm glad you're not being a militant vegan because that reminds me of a joke. How can you tell if somebody's vegan or does CrossFit?
Don't worry. They'll tell you.
Exactly.
Is it? Yeah. Oh God, somebody told me a joke and now I forgot about it. Oh, I remember. It's not a joke. It's a riddle.
Okay.
And I like it. You have two coins.
Yeah.
One of them cannot be a nickel.
Okay.
But they add up to 30 cents. What are the coins?
What are the coins?
Oh, you're not even going to guess?
One of them cannot be a nickel, and they add up to 30 cents.
Yep. Two coins.
All right. What is it?
Really? You're not guessing at all?
No, I'm not going
to
guess.
You just repeated the riddle back to me without... Okay. We'll give the people at home time to think. Okay. So here it is. It's a quarter and a nickel.
Because a quarter is not a nickel.
The quarter cannot be a
one
nickel.
One of them, yeah, okay.
Because it's a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. It's a very nice, stupid joke. Oh, so anyway, here's the thing. So this is what I'm talking about. So this vegan stuff, right?
Yeah.
Has given me a reason to buy something that I haven't bought before because, you know, why would I not just have a hamburger? It is the Beyond Burger from Beyond Meat. Are you familiar with this?
I am
item?
Not. Is that a Midwestern thing?
No, it is not. It is a...
Is it lab grown?
It is not lab grown. It is vegan. It resembles a raw hamburger patty and cooks almost like a raw hamburger patty. Very close to it. And the big thing is that you're supposed to cook it only 3 minutes on each side so that it's still pink on the inside.
Yeah.
Psychologically, Ben, it's like a messy burger.
It's pretty cool. I'm not surprised I haven't heard of it because I generally don't go shopping for the vegetarian meat options. Although I will say that Cafe Pederoso, the former version of Cafe Pederoso on Capitol Hill, had this really tasty fake bacon BLT, which I kind of enjoyed. It's the only like fake bacon I've ever eaten, but it was actually quite tasty.
And what did they make it out of? Because there are many ways to make the fake bacon.
I have
bacon.
No idea.
Ah.
It kind of looked like bacon. Like, it looked like, I'll tell you what, it looked like somebody drew bacon on something. And it tasted serviceable.
I wonder if it's...
But you're eating it with a bunch of other stuff. So it's not like, I'm sure if you just ate... if you took the Pepsi challenge, or in this case, it would be the bacon challenge of knowing like which piece of bacon you're eating is real and which is fake. There's no contest, but with all the flavors combined, it did its job.
Well, that sounds good, and I wish I had it, but no.
Well, no, but I can't even have it anymore because they don't even serve it anymore.
What? Why not? New management?
Well, Cafe Pederoso expanded. I don't know if you remember the old storefront cafe where they had maybe...
I don't.
They had maybe 4 to 5 tables. Now it's like a big restaurant.
Where was it located?
It's just across Pine Street. Or no, Pike Street from Annex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do remember this because I parked in their parking lot one time, and I felt kind of bad about it, but it was a pay parking lot after a certain time.
Yeah.
So it was okay. I don't remember exactly. Somehow I morally allowed myself to park
there. They remodeled and expanded, and they don't serve what they used to serve. They serve now what is what Capitol Hill is becoming, which is hot cuisine.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The one thing I was thinking about when we were thinking about what has Capitol Hill become, kind of.
Yeah.
Was the place that had the Lamborghini.
Right.
On top of it and how badly that went for them.
Yeah. That
they
was
did
like
not stay in business long.
That was like a nightclub or something. Strangely enough, I never went in there.
And what happened was, a lot of people were like, what are they doing on Capitol Hill? This is the wrong place for them.
Exactly.
And now, if only they had stuck it out, Ben, they'd be doing great, probably. At the half-hour mark, I checked my email again. Could you even tell? I was being sneaky.
Were you? I've been typing out the show notes. I kind of forgot in the first part.
Hey, let's just, what are Paul and Ben doing? That could be another segment.
The next, yeah, that's
make a
new
check.
Segment.
Now I'm actually lying down, on a bed, not doing anything important except talking, which is how I like to do the podcast because, it keeps me, focused.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing sneaky things, I have been watching Penn and Teller Fool Us.
Oh, yeah. A lot. I like that.
I've been watching it, though not... I do have access to it on Hulu, but I've been watching it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because the different segments are like kind of split up on it.
Yeah.
But I think I might actually start watching the actual episodes because I like the show a lot.
I've seen a few segments, but it's always because I've come across like a post somewhere where somebody says this guy fooled Penn and Teller and his trick just blows my mind, and so I gotta watch a 5-minute clip on YouTube.
And the things I like, though, that I've started to really watch are the ones where they don't get fooled. And the reason I like watching them is because Penn will do this thing where he will talk to the magician.
Yeah.
In magician speak and explain to them what they did to do their trick. And the guy will, like, know what's happening. And they'll understand. So he hasn't given the trick away to the audience.
Right. And Penn is, like, proving that he knows how the trick is done and not just saying it.
Exactly. Right. So he'll say something like, let's say, for, are you familiar, Ben? You and I both have studied a little bit of sleight of hand now and then. I do remember that you were better than me at it. I don't remember why exactly, except that I think that you practiced more.
I don't remember being any better at it than anybody else, but go on.
No. You were great at the pencil and cigarette tricks. You were very astute. But anyway, the thing is, you know about forcing.
Yes.
Concept of forcing.
Yeah.
So he would say, he might say something like, it's interesting that you're really into science fiction. I can tell, you're like a regular, Luke Skywalker. In fact, you have a knowledge of the universe and, the things that move and flow through us. And you can tell that in the way that you did this trick. And so the magician then would be able to, like, ascertain he's talking about the force.
Right, right.
And then, okay, so he's saying the force. And it reminded me a little bit, only slightly, but a little bit, of Cockney rhyming slang.
Ah.
Because, as you know, with Cockney rhyming slang, the one that I know for sure is when you call someone your China, you're calling them your mate. And the idea is that mate rhymes with plate, and China plate is a thing, but then you drop the plate and it just becomes China. And I used to really annoy my friend Chris Holmes, who was from Great Britain, because I would come up with things that I would think could fit the rules of Cockney rhyming slang, and he'd go, no, it doesn't. I'm like, does this work? I really wanted to figure it out.
The Cockney rhyming slang seems like something that would have to be set out like in advance. Like, you can't just say something random and assume somebody else is going to get it. They have to be well-established slang.
Give me any word, Ben.
Aeroplane.
Okay. I will just go with plane. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Great.
I'm gonna write down a word that I think you're gonna say. I'm not gonna tell you what it is.
Okay. I was gonna drive to Florida, but I ended up taking the David.
Ah. That is not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say, I was going to drive to Florida, but I ended up taking the candy. Candy cane, plane.
Wait, oh no. Okay, cool. But here's the thing, Ben. I think I know why you got that. Because at first I was thinking of plane, and then I was thinking of plane, P-L-A-I-N, and then I was thinking of M&Ms. So that's why you thought I was going to say candy, Ben. You're picking up on my candy thoughts.
You're right. That must but no, be it.
Plain, you know, David Blaine, you're taking the David.
Ah.
That's Cockney rhyming slang.
Or plain, but of course, rhymes with cane, you're taking the candy cane.
Yeah, you're taking the candy. I'm taking the candy to the, yeah, exactly. But obviously we're wrong. Hey, all of our British listeners, let us know. How we don't get Cockney rhyming slang. I would like to know.
I just
speaking of, I would like to know
yes.
and what we got wrong.
I hear tell that Jennifer Fact Checker actually gave us some corrections.
Yes,
today.
there are corrections.
My wife, Jennifer Pratt, also known as Jennifer Fact Checker, helps us out. Of course, on this podcast, we do not use any like Google or reference materials of any kind. Some might say that that's so that we don't have to do any research, but I like to think of it as proving that we aren't as smart as we think we are now that we have access to devices that can search the internet and bring all the storehouses of knowledge that exist to our fingertips, Ben, immediately. That's not knowing stuff. That's being good at data retrieval. There's a difference. But Jennifer knows stuff, and she is going to tell us what we got wrong from the last podcast.
Yeah.
And a thing we like to call corrections.
Ding.
Ding.
So we were talking about how when electrical cars become the norm, gas station bathrooms will become a thing of the no longer will be like the epitome of the grossest place you can go.
Right.
And she says, quote, bathrooms will always be disgusting. And that's in quotes. I think that's something that we might have said.
Yeah, I believe it is.
And then she goes on to say, well, perhaps, however, in my experience, the men's is far and away more likely to be a horrific assault on the senses and biohazard avoidance than the women's. I would like to nominate fast food restaurant bathrooms as the worst for gender-specific bathrooms. Any unisex bathroom anywhere is a crapshoot for reals. Actually, I will counter this with the only experience I have of ever going into a women's room, and that is when I was a janitor at a law office downtown. And I will tell you, on a routine basis, the women's room was far more disgusting than the men's room. And I'll tell you why.
Really?
I will tell you why. If
I'm ready.
If the toilet malfunctioned in a men's room, men will try to fix it.
Oh, my goodness.
If the toilet malfunctioned in the women's room, what would they do? They wouldn't do anything. So there would be these disgusting toilets. Now, perhaps there's like less toilet paper on the floor or less water on the counters because they are a bit more tidy. But when it came to having to witness unflushed toilets, the women's room is far and away the worst offender.
Wow. Shots fired, Ben Lawrence.
And I only took that to mean that if the men, stopped up a toilet, they would get a plunger and do something about it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you remember my story.
That one experience. I don't have a lifetime of, you know, comparing men's and women's restrooms.
There was that time when I was at Mr. Chai's Tea House in Ballard, Ben. You remember this?
Do I? I'll tell you.
All the time. This woman walked up to the guy, the barista behind the counter, and said to him, "My son put a whole bunch of toilet paper down your toilet, and now there's water everywhere."
What are you going to do about
it? He was the worst person in the world. And he apologized to her.
Yep.
And I was just like, what is happening? But he couldn't do anything because he was working
right
behind the counter and he had a huge line and I had to use the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
So I went and I cleared that thing out.
Oh, Paul Goody, you're a gentleman.
I am also an ex-janitor, Ben. You and I have both. You know how it is.
Yeah.
When you were a janitor at one point in time, and you go into a room that's not your room to clean, you still have this compulsion of like, oh, well, you know, that little thing could get moved and this could be here and this, you know what I mean?
Right, because if like Mr. Johnson comes by and finds out that the room's not clean, you might get a talking to. Or reprimand.
Exactly. You
you want to do the job even though you don't have to do the job anymore.
I still have that impulse of facing or and or fronting products in the store because of my time working retail.
Where, oh, yes.
And you're familiar with what that is. It's bringing the products from like the back of the shelf to the front of the shelf to make it look like the shelves are full.
Yes.
Because yeah, you're supposed to do in your spare time if you weren't busy at the registers.
The one other thing that I will say, and this is like I was going to give the specifics of it, but I will just say a place where I was working a long time ago.
Yeah.
And probably not the place you're thinking of, but it doesn't matter. This is just going to be vague. But I was working at a place where there was a particular individual, a woman, who was higher up, like let's say an executive style person.
Okay.
But the women on our floor asked if they could start using the men's bathroom because when she used the women's bathroom, it was a Superfund site.
Oh no, that poor woman.
Yeah. And there were many speculations of what was the problem, but things that I can tell you, Ben, high up in her field.
Yeah.
Hard partier, apparently, from what I've understood.
Okay.
Also very small of a person.
Okay.
So I think just probably putting her body through things it shouldn't be doing. That's my guess.
At least not on a regular basis. You know, exactly. I don't like I've said, I've never been in a women's restroom when women are in it. I've only been in one as a janitor after hours. But I do listen to things people say on TV, on the radio.
Yes.
And one perception that I have.
TV on the radio.
One perception that I have is that some women will not actually physically sit on the seat. And other women are angry about this because it leaves a big mess. Now, I don't know if this is a common thing. All I know is that stand-up comedians have an issue with this behavior.
Oh, I remember Ellen DeGeneres actually had a bit about that.
She did.
It was. It was great.
A very clowny.
For those
bit.
Of you who only know Ellen DeGeneres as a famous person, Ben and I think can both attest that when she was just a stand-up who would show up randomly on a show,
short attention span theater.
I mean, it was great. You're like, yay, this person. You didn't know her as Ellen DeGeneres. You knew her as this person, but she was great. Funny.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move away from the restroom habits and let's move on to correction number two. We were talking about the Blue Angels and Seafair. Speaking of the Blue Angels and Seafair, a snippet of a conversation made the animated short for last week's video, or last week's podcast.
Yes, which I haven't seen yet.
You should watch it.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's fun.
I will.
I will. It's one of my favorites. I'm
looking forward to it.
We were talking about the Blue Angels because last weekend was Seafair here in Seattle. And she says, the Blue Angels at Seafair have a proper show on both Saturday and Sunday. The jets are F-18s and can reach a speed of Mach 1.8. Sonic booms are prohibited over major population centers. I pretty much assumed that. So they slow down to a mere 624 miles an hour.
Jeez. I'm just thinking about that.
About what?
It's not. That's about 624 miles per hour, Ben. Can you imagine?
So we were also talking about these challenges, these internet challenges.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Suicide Game? Did we talk about that? I don't know about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's the idea. There were two things. There was one called Blue Whale and one called Momo.
Yeah, Blue Whale Challenge, Momo Challenge.
They basically start small and then they get bigger and bigger and worse.
So
and the idea that they're mostly probably fictional, like not many people actually do them.
Right. Well, apparently, so the Blue Whale Challenge and the Momo Challenge, supposedly available through WhatsApp, has resulted in zero deaths.
There we go.
They have been implicated by parents and online alarmists, but there is absolutely no evidence that these games have been even a contributing factor in anyone's death. So there you go. I still don't know what these are, but nobody's died because of them. So hooray.
I figured it to be the case. So that's good.
Number four. I brought up Les Moonves, I guess, because he was, I want to say fingered, but that sounds like an inappropriate phrase. He was implicated, or he was accused of sexually inappropriate behavior. He's the head of CBS.
Yes.
I don't know why Jennifer wrote this, but Les Moonves sings Cat's Cradle on Letterman. I can't find anything to support this. This is a rumor even the internet has abandoned. I don't know. Were we talking about?
Oh, okay. So David Letterman, this is something that I brought up. David Letterman moved to CBS.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't remember if it's that guy or who, but there's a part in his show where an executive comes in. And he said he wanted to say something or do something or whatever. Like Dave says, you had something for me? And the guy sings Cats in the Cradle.
Ah.
Not all of it. A cappella just like walks in, sings it, and then walks out again.
Is this the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon?
Yeah,
Little Boy
exactly.
Blue and the Man on the Moon. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I think the reason I think I remember it is because I was watching because he had just switched to CBS.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Anyway, so
it might have been, you know what it might be? He might have been on CBS and it might have been someone from NBC who came over to sing to him.
Ah.
Which would make sense because of the song a little bit anyway. I don't know, Ben.
Yeah. Anyway,
but,
so
apparently, it's obscure enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Jennifer couldn't find anything that supported it, and the internet has abandoned that rumor. So let's move on and talk about Frank Zappa's kids.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the last one, number five. Frank Zappa's kids are all the issue of Frank and Gail Zappa. Ahmet, Moon, Dweezil, and Diva were left unequal shares of the Zappa family trust. Why? Ask Frank and Gail. Oh, wait, they're dead.
Jeez. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at that. The phrasing was good.
That's Jennifer Fact Checker. Fun kid names by Frank and Gail. Here we go. A. Diva Thin Muffin Pigeon Zappa. I know that's not a misspelling of pigeon. It's just pigeon. She prefers Diva Muffin Zappa.
Ah.
Moon Unit Zappa, who we all know. And
yes.
I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of some of these. Ahmet Emuka Rodan Zappa. And the final one, Ian Donald Calvin Euclid Zappa. He prefers Dweezil. So I guess Dweezil's a nickname.
Wow.
I honestly thought
that Dweezil was his I would have bet you.
If his sister's name is Moon Unit.
Yeah, I would have just assumed that Dweezil was his name. Oh, that's crazy.
Is he the oldest? Is Ian Donald Calvin Euclid Zappa the oldest Zappa child?
I do not know.
Anyway.
I do not know.
I guess 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I don't know. We're left unequal shares of the Zappa family trust, but there's no. Jennifer doesn't give an indication of who gets the most, or who gets more.
Yeah.
So I guess some of these kids fell out of favor with mom and dad.
Maybe so. I remember the thing that I believe happened is that I know that Ahmet, and I think Diva. I think those are the two
who have a more controlling interest in the like how the names get used and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. An issue that does not will not keep me up late at night.
And yes.
So there we go. Those are corrections for episode 128.
Hey, awesome.
Hey, we're done.
And you know what that means?
What's that mean?
Ben? Hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Yep, yep, yep. It's time for Betty to show up. And I've tried to put a little spin on yelling for Betty this time.
Oh, hey.
I don't know if it's going to work or not, but hey, it's time for Betty to give her opinion. Betty, the microphone is yours. Let's go ahead and do it.
Do what?
You were gonna just get on your soapbox and tell the people something.
Do the people need some learning?
I've been playing Pokemon for a little while, and I freaking love it. So, for the zero people who play Pokemon Sun and Moon out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
School for me starts, on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if I'm gonna love it or hate it. We'll see.
What?
Did you find your syllabus? Or whatever?
My schedule?
Your schedule.
Yeah.
Well, what grade? And here now, personal business, Betty, your language arts teacher.
Yeah.
Wrote to me.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, parents, just writing you to give you a syllabus. And then there was nothing in the
Oh, my gosh.
So I wrote to him and I said, I can't wait. I love language. And also, was there supposed to be a syllabus attached to this? Because there totally isn't anything.
Yeah. So I have a quick question. What grade is Betty going to be starting on Tuesday?
What?
What grade are you going to be starting on Tuesday?
I'm going to be starting 7th grade, and it's going to be amazing.
7th grade.
Do you know what that means, Ben?
She's a middle schooler.
I'm going to be going through the cringiest phase of my life.
A little bit. Betty is going to be 13 years old in February of 2019.
A true teenager.
Yes.
Yes. And I will be able to complain about teens all the day long.
No, you won't.
I still do already. Teens. Gah! With their hair and their music.
Do you think that teens should be bald and not listen to music ever?
The children should be bald and listen to nothing but auctioneering.
They should listen to nothing but classical music, because that's the only real music in the world.
There you go. Yeah. Cannot argue with that.
You know my stance, Ben. If it's not classical music, is it really music?
No,
it isn't. According to my grandfather.
Oh, my God. That upstart Sousa and his crazy tuba things.
Sousa's tuba?
I can't believe it.
Sousa's tuba?
What's the sousaphone? Sousaphone. I used to play the sousaphone, everybody. It's true. Also, Betty is wearing her martial arts outfit. Betty is in martial arts.
Yeah. Neat. And it's super tiring. And every time I do it, I feel like I'm going to die.
You know, it's funny. I have video of me from the summer of when I was 12 before going into 7th grade.
We have an R2-D2 humidifier here.
We have an R2-D2 humidifier here, Ben.
Does it speak bocce?
There's a picture of a monkey.
No, man, R2-D2 doesn't. Oh, sorry. Betty's about to fall off the bed, and I tried to grab her, and I ended up tickling her instead. Was it an accident? It'll be up to you to decide.
On the
when
next
you hear the audio.
Judy Lawrence podcast.
Okay. So.
Oh, we're almost done. Anything else? Any last bit?
Any last words?
I smell like beef.
Oh my! Again.
Is that her sign off now?
I love you all.
I think so. Oh, that's good. Love and peace. Hey Ben.
Beef and love. Keep it beef wrong. And love. Keep it wrong.
Yeah,
Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Keep
I'll
it
talk
wrong.
To you later. Yeah.
All right. I'll all talk right. to you later.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Here I go. All right. Turning this off.